Welcome to Expounded Universe, Episode 10, Shizor Takes a Knee. The book, Shadows of the Empire, by Steve Perry. The year, 1996. Your hosts, Jeff and John, with special guests, Kate and Pranks. Chapters 28 through 30. Let's go.
Are you down with SheVP?
Hey, you know me.
Just when you think all those balls are going to spill.
And Lando swore out lore of Ipsum Dolorous Est.
For Christ's sake, I hope every one of them is dead by the end of this book.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the podcast where we discuss old Expanded Universe Star Wars novels about three chapters at a time for, oh, I don't know, just years and years.
Forever.
Enough that I've already seen like six other people announce that they're starting exact same podcast because we're going too slow. I'm Jeff. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, John. And John, how are you this
wonderful week? I've got a broken foot, but other than that, everything's wonderful.
Yeah, we're in Chicago. It's great. And you know what the best thing about being in Chicago is?
The pizza.
You know what the second best thing about Chicago is?
The hot dogs.
Yeah, and then the cinnamon rolls. But after we get down the list of the various foods, the bean, the lake.
Way down at the bottom.
Yeah. is the fact that we're joined on most of the episodes we're recording here by members of the One Shot Podcast Network. And this time, not only are we joined by members, but by one of the two founding members and one of the, I guess, owners of the network, and that'd be Kat. So,
Oh, hey, gang.
There she is. So, Kat, welcome to Expounded Universe.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be awesome. We've never actually gotten to work with anyone else from the network before. Just James over and over and over again. And frankly,
oh god,
sick of it. Tired
yes.
of
the
yeah.
worst.
That sounds awful.
That's a hellscape.
It's bad enough that I have to do this in his apartment. But yeah.
Oh, we should.
His stink is all over it.
Let me make this slightly better for our sound quality. The one benefit to his apartment, and we weren't even utilizing it,
is the curtain.
Back.
That sweet, sweet curtain.
The one benefit to his apartment.
Other than Oliver. To his apartment, the dog.
There's Oliver, yeah. Oliver is straight up a significant benefit.
Oliver doesn't contribute much to podcasts, though.
That's true.
I'll say that.
But Oliver is mobile.
Yeah.
The podcat, which is our own animal contributor, will occasionally recognize a microphone as a threat and walk up and meow directly at it.
It is a threat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I bring along with me my lovely co-host from Never Tell Me the Pods, Pranks Paul.
Hey, heroes, Padawans? Which, both of them. Heroes and Padawans, I guess.
Herowans?
Herowans. Yeah, I run Adventure on the One Shot Network,
uh-huh.
and Never Tell Me the Pods on Never Tell Me the Pods.
Uh-huh.
And Kat is my co-host on Never Tell Me the Pods.
She also runs Campaign, which we haven't gotten around to yet.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing.
Phenomenally
about Star Wars.
Meh.
So,
can we say that?
We can say Star Wars features prominently in Campaign.
Well, Star Wars adjacent.
Yeah.
We aren't trained podcast hosts. We just do this for a lark. So I know I'm supposed to let you guys plug at the beginning and at the end. So,
please
plug
That's
away.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Whew.
Fuck. Am I allowed to swear?
Oh,
oh okay, shit.
Cool.
No.
Lord. Okay.
Oh, you just ruined iTunes for us forever.
Oh, no. The explicit rating.
Yeah, Campaign's Three Men and a Baby in Space technically happens in Star Wars Edge of the Empire. Yep.
I guess Adventure is a series of settings. We basically do fan fiction in various universes, and it's incredibly self-indulgent, and it's filled with people who love the thing that they are doing. So, yeah, check out Adventure, also on the One Shot Network.
And then Never Tell Me the Pods is not a part of the One Shot Network, and it is a Star Wars discussion podcast.
This is also not part of the One Shot Network, or is. I forget. I forget exactly
which ones
of our
shows. I don't even know how we work anymore.
I don't even know if... I honestly don't even know if System Mastery is part of the One Shot Network. I know I am.
We're not on the website, so you know.
Right.
Because we were going to have the redesign, and then they're going to show up on the website.
Oh,
that's
right,
why.
Right.
We believe you. We know.
Yeah. Yeah. We believe you. Wait.
You're part of the network.
Yeah, you are all a wonderful, valued member of the network.
You're a valued member of this crew.
Oh, my goodness. So, one thing we definitely want to do, like I said, by all means, please check out our guests' awesome shows. I mean, who am I kidding? You all listen to Campaign already anyway. We poached most of our fans from Campaign in the first place. But definitely check out all the One Shot Network shows. They're all great. Just to reiterate on what we're doing here, this is going to be an episode of Expounded Universe. We're still talking about the middle of Shadows of the Empire by Steve Perry, but this is actually part one of two, because we're going to wrap this episode up and immediately join Never Tell Me the Pods. So if you want to hear the rest of today's discussion, you're going to need to check out a whole other podcast. I apologize in advance.
Don't apologize.
So
never apologize for a gimmick.
I'm sorry. But like I was saying, we're going to wrap up. So again, I want to thank everyone for coming. What I want you to do is go ahead and check.
I should also point out that there are like one of two limited edition foil covers for both of these podcasts.
This is an event.
This is an event. A big event. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. A new number one.
This one's got the full fold out.
All new, all different.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you on Never Telling Me the Pods. Good night. Anyway, okay. Let's start up. Chapter 28. And just so folks know, we are well more than halfway through this book now.
We're getting close to the end here.
This book actually only has 40 chapters and an epilogue for some reason.
Yeah.
The epilogue, of course, is Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So at the beginning of chapter 28, I suppose we really ought to check in with what was happening when we last visited our heroes.
When we
last time on Shizor's Pleasure Palace.
Right. Oh, it's coming back to me. I'm sorry.
So back on the couch of Shizor's love dongle, he was putting the moves on Leia.
He was putting the magic, biologically assisted, phallene, creepy, sex stank moves on Leia, who, just to remind our listeners, is dressed as Zero Suit Samus, also wearing a sundress.
It's basically like, imagine the dress that Jennifer Lopez was wearing, that green one,
mm-hmm.
but then also a full flight suit underneath it. That is what she's in.
Right. It has a like shimmer silky type, almost see-through, like cellophane situation.
Yeah, it's completely see-through. And if I remember correctly, and this is going to be tough because it's a weird made-up Star Wars word, it is a Maradani original.
Good.
And it's valued enough to buy a small land speeder.
Yes.
That's not that much money, though.
The money in this book has never made a lick of sense. They set Guri's value at 11 million credits, and then they point out that this dress would cost a couple thousand, which apparently is enough to buy a land speeder. I guess maybe a crappy one.
Like a land speeder. Okay, so Luke sells his land speeder to get part of enough money to take a cab off of Tatooine.
Okay, but like, what sort of land speeder are we talking
about?
Yeah,
is this an XB-38?
It's probably an X-34. Yeah, I'm guessing it's enough for an X-34, which is the famous one. It's the land speeder you know.
Yeah.
Okay,
no idea.
It's the brown one from Tatooine and
New
Hope.
Oh, good, the brown one.
From
Thank
Tatooine
you, Jeff,
New Hope.
For explaining it in baby words that I can understand.
Did you ever watch Darkwing Duck? It looks like the Thunderquack, but it's like orange and brown.
It does. It looks like that radio-controlled one that's in my room next to the statue of Shizor.
Yeah, good. That's it. That's all I needed.
There you go. We're up to speed now?
Yeah. So we're up to land speed now?
So she sells her dress. Nice. So she sells her dress, she'll have enough money to maybe take a cab away from Coruscant.
Yeah, given that we're on Coruscant. This dress is pretty much enough for her to afford like a lift.
Yeah.
Maybe a bagel.
Maybe.
So that's what was happening. He was kissing on Leia. He was getting right up in there and smacking some lips.
Oh, yeah. That's where we ended, was him moving right on in.
Well,
he was setting up real estate.
So the grossness of Shizor continues immediately on the next chapter as he moves on in his fumbling 14-year-old attempt to sex her properly by immediately going for the closures on the dress, which I'm not even sure what those are. It's a sundress situation. So I think he might just be trying to brush the straps off it so it falls down.
I don't know what his goal is on getting the dress off anyway.
I think he might be doing that one-hand bra hook thing to look cool. Like he's doing it. No, come on. That thing? Maybe?
Maybe.
And Feline have those like extra long fingers, so he's probably pretty awkward with the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's got claws and stuff. I'm sure he pretty much just needs to slice bras off.
And there are no zippers and there are no buttons.
Right.
So this is a whole situation.
We have no idea what's going on. Maybe he's trying to get the bodysuit off first. Maybe that was his plan. Anyway, it specifically says dress closure.
Yeah,
that's
dress
the term
closure.
They use. Mm.
One of the most actual terms.
One of, and it didn't even add another planet in front of it. It's not, for example, a Dantooinean dress closure.
That's sad. That's how you know he was just phoning it in.
Yeah, he was in a hurry here. So, okay. All of a sudden, Chewbacca shows up at the door, and we get a brief moment of Shizor internal monologue for what Chewbacca is doing. And this is a new one. We've seen Chewbacca described as barking, half gurgling, moaning, and this time he is braying.
Oh,
what a good boy.
Yeah.
Man, Chewbacca's the best boy.
Chewbacca, this is our new plan. John has been talking about this for like 2 days now. You know that new book, listeners, From a Certain Point of View, the thing where they've invited a bunch of guest authors to rewrite chapters in Star Wars history from the point of view of new characters?
Yeah, what we really need is Shadows of the Empire from the point of view of Chewbacca, where he is just as put upon as possible, walking around just being like, why is everyone so dumb?
My suggestion is that you write it in Shirewook to really get the holiday special feeling going. Don't translate it.
No, of course not.
Well, that would certainly be easy anyway. We will translate it. We'll release an emoji version of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you want it to be as authentic as possible.
Absolutely. So Shizor is like, oh, well, what is the brain Wookiee doing here? And he has a quick monologue to himself about, how did he even get here? This doesn't make sense. How did my weird little chrome-toothed henchman fellow let him through? Where is Houseman?
Oh, yes. How could my four-foot-tall, bald, chrome-toothed crony stop this Wookiee? Like, how could he possibly get past him? I've got Odd Job on the case. How could he get here?
Also, I left a dangle ham in the garage. What is he doing here?
Oh, you know he already went through that.
He went through that dangle ham like a hot knife through butter. Okay. Well, anyway, Leia, although she is 100% in the thrall of Shizor at the moment, like she's gone.
Oh, yeah. She's drowning.
She's drowning. And she goes, ugh, the Wookiee. I'll get it.
I'll go put him in his crate. I'll be right back.
You know, we could just let him in. He doesn't know what we're doing. It's
he's just going to watch. It's fine. He'll curl up at the edge of the bed.
That's where he always sleeps. Come on. But anyway, she's like, I'll get rid of him. And Shizor, at first, is like, no, I will do it. And she's like, no, let me get rid of Chewie. And he's like, okay, fine. So she goes to get rid of Chewbacca. And we get one of my favorite quotes from this section, so I really need to include it. This is a direct Shizor quote. Fine. You can't escape my biological magic that easily.
Whoa.
I mean, let's be honest. If I had a nickel for every time I said that.
I mean, I kind of feel like I did disservice to that. Let's get a Shizor voice going. Fine. You can't escape my biological magic that easily.
Also, when you hear that, imagine him wiggling his fingers when he says magic.
Oh, yeah. He is peacocking magic. Hard. Yeah. This is him at
peak. I bet he tosses his dumb little topknot, too.
Oh, my God. He absolutely
with, like, the coin in
he's
it?
With the coin in it. Ah.
He's, like, tousling it a little bit. You can't escape my biological magic.
That motherfucker looks like Yul Brynner dresses the genie.
He really does. Yeah. I think, because I have the big statue of him, I kind of think he looks like a green Willem Dafoe.
Oh, that's bad.
Even worse.
Yeah, it just gets
what an
creepier.
Attractive man. So like Willem Dafoe merged with the Green Goblin.
Yeah. He's Willem Dafoe as the Hobgoblin with a top knot. So Leia gets up to go talk to Chewie and just immediately starts yelling at Chewie.
Oh,
like
yeah.
just berating him at full volume like she always does. And at least this time, and this is, oh my God, this is an oasis of joy in an island of annoying book. Chewbacca just shuts her down. He's just like, no, you're coming with me.
Yoink! Grabs her and just runs off with her.
Oh,
yeah,
thank goodness.
Yeah,
thank God for Chewie. To be honest,
yeah. Oh yeah,
no, this has been a long time coming. I mean, the last episode had the part where we had to mention that she calls out Chewie for trying to argue with her and says, "I don't tell you how to fly spaceships. You don't tell me how to diplomat." And all we have to check another chapter back, and there she is telling him how to fly spaceships.
Chewie, I feel like Chewie gets really wharfed in this book, basically. He's completely neutered and just like,
yeah,
there.
So he managed to convince her to leave. And this is great because basically she turns around and says to Shizor, I gotta go. This is whatever it is. It's really important.
My dumb dog's gotta go outside. I gotta take him for a walk.
He will not stop barking. Trust me, I've done this with him 1,000 times. Let me just go fill his bowl and then he'll be quiet. I promise. And Shizor drops a Pua ultimatum. At this point, I looked, and he basically says, okay, it's fine for you to go, but I might not be here when you get back.
This dick is a limited time offer.
Yep. So, this is so gross.
Shizor.
Yeah. This is so gross that I went.
Did you have to take a shower?
Yeah. I took a shower real quick, and then I went on the internet to try and figure out what the pickup artist term for what he's doing is.
Okay.
And that turned out to be way grosser than going to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So I never figured it out. I think it's called anchoring, but I'm not sure. But what I did discover is another one that I wanted to tell everyone about because I thought it was great. And this is lording. So this is what I discovered. This is the results of my brief foray into the world of pickup artists, who incidentally are the worst people in the world.
Yeah. I assume one of the chapters was you can't resist people. My biological magic.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the whole thing. So lording is, and this is a full term, this is the definition, the term for acting super cool when you enter a club and presiding over the club once you're there like a medieval lord. That's the term.
I don't, it involves, that's amazing.
Yeah, it involves a 5-step process,
yes!
And those are. And
I've just holy shit! Holy
yeah,
shit!
Yeah. Okay, get ready for the 5-step process for how to act like a king in a club, which okay. will land you all kinds of ladies. Number one, develop and cultivate a cool group look and vibe.
That's
number,
one step.
I've
one
got
step.
A leather jacket.
Well, he did. The author of this thing in the PUA like dictionary or whatever did say some of these may take some time to cultivate.
Oh, thank God.
Number two, ahead. And keep in mind, the first one was get a cool group and make sure they all look super cool and you look super cool with your group. Number two, develop a cool personal style. All right,
check.
So that's two things you're doing.
Okay. That's wait, how is that distinct from okay?
Well, no, because you're
one you've got a cool out. Group, yeah. Oh, okay. And then you have to be separate from them.
Yeah, you have to be the one who stands apart.
Exactly. They all look rad, but then you have your own personal style that is also
yeah.
rad.
And then oh. at this point, the article broke for a picture of Brad Pitt from Fight Club and a quote that said, "You should look like Tyler Durden after he won a fight when you are lording correctly."
You should look like you got the shit beat out of you.
You should look all beat up and like you are the bad part of Edward Norton's damaged mind.
You should look like someone just poured baby oil all over you. Is that what they're saying? Because I am about it if that's what they're saying.
I don't know. But this is the third one. Now keep in mind. First one, get a group and make sure every member of that group looks super cool for everyone who looks at them. Number two, make sure that you look even cooler than every member of that group that you specifically made look super cool.
Oh yeah, you got to be super fly.
Number three. Don't give a shit what anyone thinks about you.
Wow. After those first two steps, that's,
yeah, that's
a big turnaround.
I mean, you have to do the first two and then not care.
Number
what
four
a pivot.
Number four was make sure that no one thinks you give a shit about what they think about you. So that's that. Here's the truth.
And number five is if it's your first profit. Time, you
make,
have to fight.
Make sure. Yeah.
So that's as far as I got before I couldn't read.
Don't give a shit and then go up to be like, look, I just need you to know.
I need you to just...
Do you think I give a shit?
Because I don't give a shit.
I just needed you to know that.
Yeah. I just want to make sure you realize I don't give a shit.
So that's...
Real quick.
That's lording. Now, I'll tell you what lording actually is. To act like
it's
a medieval king...
It's to never be royal.
Yeah, to act... it's to be your ruler. No, I actual lording in an actual club is to announce that Tracy is having a birthday over at table three and she gets a special crown. And then later on at the end of the night, you have to announce that the Red Knights have won. That's the full extent of it. It's actually a lot easier than this author was making. I think it was Roosh V. In fact,
you just get your own rule. Chicken and some Pepsi. It's fine.
As much Pepsi as you would like.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, this has been my little foray into research for the day, and from now on, I'm staying on Wikipedia.
Yeah, no more pickup artists.
Nothing could hurt you on Wikipedia.
No. it's a wiki that has over 500 separate entries for hat.
Did you see the, this is not an April Fool's Day thing, the Wikipedia article for breast is damaging
yes.
to a man's mind.
Yeah, it was one of the first, yeah.
I'm going there now.
We definitely
we don't
looked
need
that
to talk
up.
About
don't
it,
even
but
worry.
I'm excited.
It's, cat's on there now.
It basically just tells you that many mammalian species of the Star Wars universe have breasts.
And many reptomammal species.
I'm going
as well.
To the legend.
Yeah, do legends. The canon article for breasts is not as funny.
Canon breasts, not as good. You need them expanded breasts, if you know what I mean.
Reveals a breast. This is
all right.
This is already fantastic.
Oh, it is phenomenal. It's one of the best pages. All right, so Leia leaves with Chewie. Chewie still can't figure out a way to talk to her. That you know, in an advanced Star Wars universe, there aren't standard handheld communicators or
he doesn't have a notepad.
Random protocol droids. I assume he's literate, so he could just write this stuff down. But no, he just barks at her again. So it turns out that he has knocked Hausman out.
Yeah,
and then he just sort of yells at her until she snaps out of it. So basically, he gets her to a spot where cameras can't see them.
So he straight airplanes her then.
Yeah, pretty much. He just kind of, yeah, this, that, then. Hang on, let me through. Shake. But she eventually snaps out of what's going on. She's like, oh my God, have I been drugged? And she starts the first of one of, I want to say like 15 apologies in the next three chapters to Han for letting herself get into this position.
Sounds about right.
We can't get mad at her for this. This is the normal. I'm mad at Leia pretty much since the start of reading this book for being a weird space racist who doesn't understand the difference between gender and species. But in this one instance, this is survivor's guilt. This is a deep chunk of internalized misogyny, and I actually just kind of feel bad for her.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, yeah. That I feel nothing but sorry for Leia for throughout the majority of this book. And I'm mad at this book for being written.
Yeah, that's as you should be.
That's a healthy attitude to take about this book.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, she gets kind of grumpy about it, and then she forms a plan.
Oh, no. A plan has been formed?
Yeah. And this is her plan. Chewie is going to run off and get help. He's going to leave. He's going to escape this building, I assume just by punching people.
I would like to just... Last time that we were here, we got the the way that you get into Xizor's palace, where they are,
mm-hmm.
and it is straight up miles of tunnels.
Sewers. Yeah,
it is just tunnels, and then you go through a thing, and there's a guard there, and you go up a thing, and then you go through another tunnel, and there's more guards.
That
there's
level sucks.
There's parts where the lights are just never on.
There's a spider level. There's the ice level.
Yeah,
there's the sewer train adventure.
You gotta get on one of those mine carts. It's amazing. You gotta collect bananas.
You gotta get on a jet ski and fight four of the Battletoads.
God, I would play the fuck out of that game.
Chewbacca versus the Battletoads.
Oh my God.
Chewbacca starring in Donkey Kong Country fighting the Battletoads.
Disney, get at me for this game.
Listen, alright, right now I'm talking to my friend Chris who works at Telltale. Contact me immediately. We need to make Chewbacca versus the Battletoads. I know we can get this done.
This can happen.
Alright. So he's going to escape the lair, and her plan is to go buy him time by going right back into Xizor's room.
Yeah.
But don't worry, she's not just still under the effects of the mind control and planning to go back in there and get some. She basically says to Chewbacca, I'll go back in there. I'll be immune to it now.
Yeah, I'll stall.
And Chewbacca, for whatever reason, is like, yeah, all right. I think he assumes he'll get the exact same amount of time to escape if she succumbs to Xizor or not.
I think he's at this point like, there's no way I'm going to be able to communicate with you that you need to come with me, and I'm almost certain you'll get yourself killed.
Yeah, well, anyway, the book really glosses over at this point the fact that the moment she goes in there, she'll get mind controlled again.
Yeah.
But that's the plan. She's going to go back in there and pretend to be mind controlled.
Oh, yeah. And so, she does a good job.
She does. She goes right back in there and... this is weird because Xizor's in there straight up Playboy 1982 Burt Reynolds-ing.
Oh, yeah. He is just lounging on that couch dick first.
What
yeah.
a speeder crash of a character.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, he is the worst. And the weird thing about this is that at this point, he has switched tactics entirely. He's not playing anymore, effectively. When she gets in, he's like, come sit right here. And she's like, no, I want some tea. Okay, fine. You can have tea. So she goes and makes it. And then he goes right into, great, take off all your clothes.
Yeah, what I need you to do is take off your pants and jacket.
Gross, this is
so gross. Just take off all your clothes. Again, Xizor goes for the kiss, then he starts doing that bra strap enclosure. For the guy who's supposed to have a new girlfriend every couple of days, everything he's describing sounds like what I did on my first date.
So my theory is that the reason
I did it all consensually. Go ahead.
My theory is the reason he's like, take off all your clothes is because he's afraid he won't be able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so he wants her to do it because he's like, all right, then... Now I can learn.
This suit makes no sense.
This will make me look way cooler if you take your clothes off.
Now, the problem I have is they keep writing, at least Xizor.
The problem you have?
Well, the only problem I have, the one, is they keep writing Xizor as if he's like, oh, I'm a super seductor. I don't even need these pheromones. I just use them because I like to. And his seduction technique is, hey, you should get naked.
Hey,
let me see your boobs.
This room is a hot. That shirt must be chafing you.
Like,
that's pretty much all he's got. That's his full game.
That's his game. He spits game the worst I've ever seen in my life.
This creature is the third most powerful being in the Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand the OT a lot more now.
Yeah.
I feel like the Emperor would be better than this.
The Emperor's 100% better than this.
Like, force-free. Palpatine would be like, hey,
Papa Palpatine's got it going on. Don't you doubt.
Did you know that I can reach the grill from the hot tub? Yeah.
He just gets up and on his shorts it says ultimate power.
Yeah. Oh, lady, hop in. His and hers floating pool koozies for our Budweisers. I mean, he knows how to get it, but what he's getting is women his age. He's a respectable man.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So, anyway, moving on. Xizor basically is like, take your clothes off. So, for a few minutes, she starts to. Like, she takes off that pointless sundress, and she does that I'm stripping in my first ever game of strip poker thing of being like, one shoelace?
Oh, Leia.
I'm stalling.
Da 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 da. She tries to pull the move off. Eventually, she gets down to barefoot in the Samus bodysuit.
Barefoot, wearing a flight suit.
Wearing a flight suit. It. And here it comes, folks. The moment you've all been waiting. The reason that everyone keeps emailing me that same picture. Xizor walks over to her, gets her by the shoulders, and basically tries again with "Obey me."
Obey me!
Even at this point, I feel like even the people who read this book back in high school and were super into it because they had various mind control fetishes, which I'm not judging. That's a good, that's a normal fetish to have. Even at this point, they were like, dude, this guy's game is terrible.
No, he cannot spit game.
He can't even spit cool, sexy mind control game. But she basically responds by, and this is the moment you've all been waiting for, kneeing him square in the balls.
Yay!
Yep.
Oh, finally.
It happens. He gets a straight up knee to the balls, and then she has a little line about, it's rude to take your clothes off in front of strangers. And I'm like, well, okay, Leia, no it's not. That's not.
You did so well.
Yeah.
Also, why are you quipping at this guy after you just kneed him in the balls?
Yeah, like, I mean,
she's had a real weird couple months.
She has.
She's had a go of things.
I think at this point she probably would have had a better quip, but it's still pretty mind controlling in this room. Like we were talking about earlier, I have no idea why she's immune to him now.
She knows.
Yeah.
Now she knows, and she's like, oh, I get that I'm super horned up right now, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I think
I'm a creature of civilization.
Since when has propriety been her thing?
Yeah. Also, I feel like Leia's she's pretty resistant to mind control in general, so it's weird that this would affect her at all. Vader can't make her do stuff, so the fact that she's even susceptible to Shizor is weird as hell.
Well, it's not mind control.
It's biological magic. Pranks.
It's pheromones.
It's horn magic. It's sex pheromones.
Yeah, it's not magic at all.
It's sex pollen.
Yeah, it's actual biology.
Yep.
It's
those smells.
It's gross, but ultimately, the difference between her then and now is only awareness.
Yeah, she's aware that the only reason she's horny is because she's been drugged, and so her anger is what is compelling her to get over it.
So this is, you know, to
my dark side, baby.
To, for whatever reason, I'm not sure why I'm doing this, stealing a phrase from TV Tropes, which, ew, why?
Don't do that.
But this is supposed to be her crowning moment of awesome.
What?
This is supposed to be, you haven't heard that phrase?
No, I just mean this.
This is it.
Yeah.
This book, this is her crowning moment of awesome. Later on, she'll go on to, strangle Jabba the Hutt and do all kinds of other amazing things. But
in this book.
In this book. This is as good as it gets.
Well, this is what this book deserves.
Yeah.
And also note that it is only kneeing him in the balls and she does not do anything else.
Nothing else. She steps away as if she's won the war.
Like, and that's all from me.
And good. Oh, she should be going straight into the, to Woody. Bends over, go for the lowered face. Come on, get him. But instead, she stands away. He rises back up as if the whole ball knee never happened. He's like, yes, I like it when they're fiery. The problem with smart women.
Yes, I'm into ball torture.
Yeah. The problem with smart women is sometimes they're too smart for my sex stinks. Anyway, Guri.
That's an actual quote, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Jeff was reading directly from the book
in front of me right here. And that's literally what happens, though. He just kind of says, yes, well, I'll rape you later then. Pulls in Guri and has Guri drag her off.
It's like, take her back to the room. I'll get to her later.
Yeah, later you'll find that I'm actually quite good company.
I hate you so much. You're so slimy.
Shizor is the worst.
Oh, Shizor is absolutely the worst. And here is him getting even worse. That is the end of chapter 28. Let's talk chapter 29, where he immediately doubles down on how annoying of a character in a book he is, as he immediately goes, well, did the Wookiee escape? Because that was my plan all along. Layers within layers, y'all.
Yep, it was my plan to let that Wookiee get away. I definitely wanted him to punch out my little shrimpy houseman dude and then destroy several of my guards and run through a sewer, and that was all part of the plan.
I like the idea that
when
in the N64... Oh gosh, when he was meditating in the last couple chapters to sharpen his sex smells.
Except
I think
he was super surprised that, like, how did the Wookiee get here? My goodness, why is the Wookiee?
I guess he,
if you plan
it can
for
open
him,
doors.
Wait, hold on. Oh my god. They can open I know this system, it's Linux.
Oh no, wait a minute. Did I leave the back screen open? How's he in here?
Oh no, I left the front door open.
Got all kinds of Wookiees in here, and probably a raccoon.
Missing Wookiee, last seen in sewers.
He's like walking through the rest of the house, and there's just a bunch of Yuzzums and Chadra fans wandering around.
If only!
Yuzzums and Chadra fans.
All right,
that would make
this
book bearable.
Pranks, what's a Yuzzum?
A Yuzzum or a Yazim?
Let's go with Yuzum.
So Y-U-Z-Z-U-M, they are, Joe Yauza is probably the most prominent member of this species. He's the guy who's like,
the guy from the extended version of Return of the Jedi is a Yuzum.
And weirdly, they are native to Endor, which is kind of strange and a bizarre coincidence. And then there's you just asked about Yuzum.
I just asked Yuzum, and here's the other test for this. John was confused about both. Kat, do you know what a Chadra fan is?
Oh, yeah. They're like the cute little bat people.
The cute little bat people. Did you see one getting a drink in the Mos Eisley cantina.
Wait, didn't we just talk? We just talked about Cave like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You giant goddamned nerds.
I knew they could do it. I didn't even need to pause the episode to risk it. There's their high five. You earned it. Yuzum's and Chadrafan just infesting the eaves of his apartment because he left the front door open.
So he's got Chadrafan in the belfry.
Then. He's got Chadrafans in his belfry. That little bat person in that's in New Hope.
That dude is adorable, by the way.
She's great. Yeah. She also she drinks jury juice, like she orders a cup of juice. It's basically juice. Juice gets her drunk. She's the best.
And
she's friends with, and this is killing me because I can't remember the species.
Muftok.
Yeah, Muftok, who is a
Tals.
Thank you, Tals. That's what is escaping me.
Ooh, I know Tals.
Yeah, you do, because
I've
they were in
the MMO.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
They are. They're basically like in the MMO, they're just Wookiees with a different head.
Yeah. Sucker Wookiees.
I got the Smuggler's Bounty thing from Funko Pop, and they send you like one of four shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, whatever week that was, it was like a wanted, and then it would have the character's image underneath. And everybody was getting this cool shit. Like somebody got Muftok, which I was like super jealous of. I saw one that was Ponda Baba. I got fucking Han. Do you know how many shirts I have with Han already?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I Ponda Baba one. That's cool.
Yeah. I know back when I was into Dragon Ball Z, I spent months searching to find a Piccolo shirt because every other shirt had a Super Saiyan on it all the time, forever. And when I finally got one, I was thrilled.
Nerd.
I still have that shirt, John. It's 20 years old.
I bet you do.
I use it for washing the car now because it is mostly holes. Okay, so basically that's Shizor's secret, super secret plan B, which he had all along, is let the Wookiee escape. Why? Well, because that way Luke Skywalker will eventually get a phone call from the Wookiee who will show up here so that Shizor can kill Luke personally. You know,
so the flaw in this plan is that Luke can't understand Chirawak.
Oh, yes. No, not at all. But he does have C-3PO with him.
The other flaw being that this is Coruscant, and if Luke comes in there, he's not going to get to him. He's just going to get blasted out of the sky.
I'd say the third flaw is that Shizor is in charge of like 50 million friggin' people, and why does he want him at his house? I mean, maybe he'll come in with his lightsaber and clear out all those Yuzums and Chadrafan before they get in a fight. But otherwise, I mean, you don't need to do your own dirty work, Shizor. Remember, you're all like hard and important. That's the thing that kills me about him is every single chapter with him is him going, yes, I am the master of my own domain and I own thousands of slaves and a massive shipping empire. I'll just have one more slice of cake.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Every single time we meet him.
The best part is like he does all this while everything he tries to do himself fails.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's wandering around being like, treat yourself, and then failing at life.
So he gets a phone call. Now, he immediately mentions that he has pain in his groin at the moment, but he gets a phone call and he's like, I don't want to talk to anybody on the phone.
I'm in my bath.
That's later. Oh. He's on the phone. I don't want to talk to anybody on my phone. I just got kneed in the balls. It's not a good time. Anyway, hello. Just immediately.
I'm sorry. It's balls o'clock. Can you call back later?
It's not a hollow call. And for that reason, we get a page explaining why Shizor doesn't like making hollow calls.
Yeah. It's just, I don't like hollow calls. Then people see me.
People have to look at me. It's also why I only take pictures of myself from above and never by profile.
On my MySpace, I have the best pictures of me.
Yeah. So he, literally, a page of him whining about how hollow calls let people see who you are. And then, finally, what is it? It's
so
some spy.
So are we supposed to infer from that it's just that he can't, is it just because he's not meeting them in person, so that he can't use his pheromones?
He doesn't like using holo calls because he likes to stay mysterious. He doesn't.
Yeah, it's the mystery.
Sure.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't like, because he likes phone calls is the thing.
He does like phone calls.
Yeah,
okay.
He likes phone calls, just not holo calls.
Right.
And if someone were to see the call, they would know who they were talking to.
It could very well be the pheromone thing, because if people were to meet him once in person and then call him later and not be as impressed,
right,
then they might put it together.
The missing puzzle piece here is that Faleen doesn't have caller ID, so he never realized that they would just figure out that he was calling.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time it goes to do the caller ID, it just says, she's or.
You have three messages. She's or.
God, I need to get that fixed.
Everything in my house.
Why did I make everything in my house talk? Why did I buy into this Web 2.0 shit?
I have the highest standards for everything. That's why I use incredibly shitty Web 2.0 stuff.
I just realized that he spent millions of credits on microcircuitry so he could live in Shizor's playhouse.
Yeah, his chair talks. He's got his own robot friend. This pans out. Yeah.
Yeah. I've planned to bring you here so that I may savage you, Leia. Savage is the word of the day.
Now, show me.
Okay, he gets a phone call. The phone call is from a spy. The spy basically just tells him what happened three chapters ago. Hey, hey, Luke got caught by Barabel and a bunch of bounty hunters. And he's like, sweet, thanks. Do we know where they are? No, not yet. I'll try and find out. Hang up.
That's it.
He gets a phone call. The second phone call is from the same spy. The same spy is now like super scared because he doesn't want to talk to Shizor about failing. And he's like, all right, I got to tell you the truth. Luke escaped. And also Vader was sighted in the area. And he's like, I am super thrilled because that means Vader's all needled and pissed off. And that's the only thing in the world I care about.
Yeah, because if Vader had gotten him, I would know.
Can we... How much time passed between these two calls?
About a minute and a half in the book.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Luke is in jail in this book for days.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm going to call my boss and give him a status report and then call him 5 minutes later with updated information that I didn't bother to find out in the 5 minutes that passed.
I guarantee you that given that Shizor is one of those kill your own underlings type of bad guys, I guarantee you that dude had both sets of information ready to go.
At the same time.
Yeah. And was like, all right, so here's how you call Vader or Shizor with bad news. You call him and give him weird good news first and then call and take it away because he'll still be riding off the initial high and he won't have you killed. And sure enough, Shizor doesn't have him killed.
No, of course not.
But this is what he does do. He preens for a second about how proud he is that Vader almost got Luke. And, oh my God, he first of all, he thinks to himself, well, I won't have this man killed, but I will make sure that the knowledge of me killing that dude who betrayed me like 15 chapters ago, I'll make sure that guy's death becomes public knowledge after I control the galaxy, he says. At first, then, here, this is a quote, another Shizor original. Ah, people will say, how devious the Dark Prince is. Beware. Beware indeed.
Beware, for the path you take leads to certain destruction.
This is him saying, after I control the galaxy, I'll let news slip that I almost caught Luke Skywalker, and then he got away, and then I caught him again, and then people will say how devious I am.
How devious? He didn't catch Luke Skywalker, but then he did. How devious?
Leia gets locked in a hotel room. It's the same one from earlier. This time she spends less time walking around barefoot in the carpet and being surprised by drawers full of underwear. Instead, she just...
Surprise!
Instead, she tries the door briefly and then falls asleep immediately. I assume that's because...
door's locked.
I don't want to feel bad about this. I assume it's a secondary function of the sex stinks, is that it makes you sleepy, or after it's all run through your course. But she does have time before she falls asleep to think, oh, Han, I'm so sorry that I almost betrayed you.
Jesus Christ.
This book is awful. This book is a Star War crime.
Yeah. Every internalized monologue that Leia has in this entire book is her pining after Han or wondering if it's okay for her to love Leia and Han, Han and Luke at the same time. And you know what, Leia? It is. It's fine. It's okay. I know that he's your brother and you don't, so I have that to judge you for, but...
But I'm into Wincest, so let's do it.
Well, I'm only into Wincest. Other incest can get out. It's only the Winchester brothers from Supernatural.
But only if they're dogs.
And only if they're dogs.
That's my fish.
Look at these folks who don't know this part of the internet.
I don't know this. Yeah.
Welcome to the deep web.
I'm aware of Tumblr.
I've heard the term wincest before, but not the dog thing.
Oh, shoot, guys. Just Google. Okay, this is all one word.
Don't do this.
Just Google Super Hulock. All one word.
Oh, no, I very much know about that.
All right.
Wow.
So, yeah, knowing about the grungy parts of the internet is like our secondary hobby. Okay. Leia is thinking about Han, and then she falls asleep. Luke indeed does get a phone call from Chewbacca. Chewbacca basically manages to convey, presumably through C-3PO, I'm on Coruscant, Leia has been kidnapped.
Oh, it's Lando is there, and Lando
That's right. Lando understand. Speaks Wookiee. Yeah. Also, this is weird. We glossed over this earlier. Shizor speaks a little Wookiee.
Just a little Wookiee.
Just enough.
He took a little in high school. He backpacked across Kashyyyk.
I was going to say, why would he? This is like finding out that Indiana Jones speaks a little Swedish.
Sure.
It's not dashing. It's stupid. Like, why would he speak a useless language that's only spoken by recently acquired Imperial slaves?
You heard it here first. Swedish, terrible. Swedish, useless.
Swedish is useless. It's only spoken in one country, and that country isn't growing especially rapidly.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason for him to know any.
Yeah, there's absolutely. It's supposed to be like, oh, look how worldly Shizor is. He even speaks a little Wookiee, but it's not. It's just dumb.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway, moving forward. Luke and Lando find out where Leia is, and Luke's first response is, why do these things always happen to me?
Yeah, Luke.
Yep.
Get it together, buddy.
Luke.
Okay, that sounds in character.
Yeah,
it is kind of in character. He's a whiny little SOB until the end of this trilogy. Still, though, it's a little white guy. It's a little white guy to be like, this is my problem, isn't
I'll
it?
I'll never get to pick up those power converters.
This is one more thing between me and Tosche Station, you guys.
Yo, Luke, you need to understand, Leia's been taken by a weird rapey alien, and he's super crazy. Why does this happen to me? I'm so inconvenienced.
I could have been kidnapped by a weird rapey alien, hint, hint.
Yeah.
Chewbacca.
Still not good, but okay. Kind of Luke Skywalker.
Fair enough.
It's a little character. Luke.
Little Luke.
You've got that for sure.
That might be the most consistent character moment in this book.
He immediately browbeats Lando into going to Coruscant.
And it doesn't take much. He's like, we're going to go rescue her. And Lando's like, no, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We will be immediately caught and killed.
Good point, Lando.
But we should?
Yeah. And Luke,
okay.
Yeah, Luke basically says, well, you could stay here, I guess. But they go. And when they get
and Lando's
there,
like, I don't have any other friends.
And Lando's like, well, I do actually control this Millennium Falcon, and I could tell you to go fuck yourself, but...
And which is real weird, by the way, because I don't understand why ownership reverts to Lando when, I mean, Chewie's right there.
Well, he's not on the ship now.
It is more his ship than Lando's, that's for sure. They go to Coruscant, which is described as sounding so cool. Like, you know, we've seen it now, thanks to the prequels. We have seen Coruscant. And it's just a big metal ball. But in this, it's described as being completely surrounded by neat wheel worlds and interesting satellites.
Yeah, skyhooks.
Skyhooks and ring stations. It all sounds so awesome.
It's great. Yeah.
It's a neat description, and I always like it when there's cool stuff in this book. It's rare, so I like to highlight it when it happens, but there it is. There's a cool thing that happens. And then they ruin it immediately. Immediately by having Lando say, how are we going to get into the planet? It's completely surrounded by Imperial blockades and neat stuff. And Luke goes, huh. You remember that thing that happened in Empire Strikes Back where Han attached the ship to the Star Destroyer to hide from the Star Destroyer? We'll just do that. We'll just do the thing from the movies.
Mm-hmm. We'll just keep doing that thing we did.
We'll do the thing. You remember the thing from the movies? We'll just do the thing from the movies. It's fine.
Yeah.
And Han, Lando's like, well, that was...
And that turned out so well for Han, so this is a foolproof plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't immediately attract Boba Fett at all.
No.
Not even a little. But Lando kind of goes, well, that'd be really hard. To which Luke goes... What are you, chicken? Effectively.
Aw, Luke.
So, they do that. They decide to attach themselves to the side of, again, a very interestingly described freighter. It's described as a huge cylindrical ring of docking clamps that are all connected to various little cylinders of like freight stations,
mm-hmm.
described as just miles long and constantly contra-rotating. It sounds awesome. It'd be a really cool thing to find in a video game or something.
Yeah, I used that model ship actually in my Edge of the Empire game, and like it was a very cool like set piece thing because it has like very distinct moving parts. And
yeah. Yeah, it would be an awesome thing to, like, for example, get in a spaceship and have to fly around and in and stuff.
Yeah.
So that would be super awesome. But instead, they just easily attach themselves to it with Luke just kind of going, huh, Lando is a pretty good pilot. Well, yeah, he's PS-8. I mean, we all...
Seven.
Oh, is he seven? Sorry. Yeah, he's PS-7.
Nine. Veteran instincts.
Veteran instincts.
Oh, don't put the eye on Lando. That's a waste.
Now, the best part about this is, as he does with most people when they're going to do a flying thing, is he will spend a page describing how difficult it is and then say, and then the pilot did it.
Right.
Yep. You're
like, oh, okay, great, good job.
Then we jump right to them being on Coruscant, getting ready to leave the Falcon. I think they park it secretly somehow. I don't know. They both disguise themselves as beggars.
Not that hard in Luke's case.
Nope, not at all. And again, basically, this is like a lampshade moment because... Lando says basically, we can get in there real easy. I have a couple people on this planet who owe me favors because of gambling. And Luke immediately goes, okay, I feel like every time we've gone anywhere, you just immediately start collecting on gambling favors everywhere. I mean, I understand Coruscant. That's not quite so weird, but this is literally the fifth planet we've been to. How many gambling favors do you have? What is with you gambling favors? How come we don't just have a lot of money? And Lando's just like, eh, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. Instead, every time I win, I just say, you'll owe me a favor. And apparently it was for so much money that they have to like kill themselves for me. It's fine. I'm Lando.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's basically hand-wavy.
It is straight up describing it as if it was an RPG stat. Like something written down on Lando's sheet is, he has contacts for,
knows
parentheses, gambling favors.
Yeah.
So basically, at this point, they dress up as beggars and they head into Coruscant. Then Xizor takes a bath.
Xizor takes a bath is my favorite children's book.
Oh, God. Xizor takes a bath. First of all, that means that this is our first chance to really picture Xizor naked.
No, it isn't. We already, in the chapters before this,
oh, the one where
Lea was like, I can see the outline of his manhood through his
thin robe.
His thin, silky robe.
Ooh, I can even see what color it is. Surprisingly, it's green.
Oh, and it is definitely compatible with me.
That was right. She actually said it's definitely human biology, I can tell.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Well, anyway, he's in a bath.
I really hate Star Wars.
Yeah, isn't that's what this book makes you do, is hate Star Wars. Yeah. It's fine, though, because I love Star Wars. At this point, he's in a bath, and we get, oh gosh, I don't know, a half-page description of how luxurious the bath is.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Olympic-sized swimming pool of baths.
Yeah, it's black marble.
I'm always into that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just house decorating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's some good house decorating. It's a beautiful big black marble tub. Every bubble in the bath costs a million credits.
Where's the marble
credits.
From, did they say?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they say. I'll look it up while we're talking. But he's getting he's having a nice luxurious bath, I guess, probably because
he's got jets going.
Yeah, he's got bubbles of jets. And then, oh gosh, it's the space equivalent of getting a phone call. A human-shaped and intelligent droid just walks in and hands him a phone.
Good. That's what you want when you're taking a bath. Like, that's what I want when I'm taking a bath, at least, is I want Guri to come in and hand me a phone.
Guri just walks in and stands there awkwardly, giving him enough time to complain about her doing this.
And of course, when Guri comes in and is going to give him this communication, he also has a moment of like, you know, I could command her to strip and get in with me.
Mm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you could indeed use your sex robot for sex. And he's like, I've done it before. Maybe not now.
Is it like Larmel?
We're not quite there yet. I'm very close to zeroing in.
Is it caramel?
Okay, that's this. Where's the bath?
I'm sorry to
no,
to
no, no.
I'm sorry, but no one cares.
It is perfectly fine. I will find it. Guri hands him the phone effectively. It's funny because she doesn't just come in and say what she's there for. She comes in and just stands there until he complains.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like to be disturbed in here, and I think you know that. And she's just
you
like,
you disturb my solitude.
No, shut up.
And she's just
shut
like,
the fuck up.
Phone call from the Emperor. Which she should have announced with that.
Right? You walk into the room with like, yo, Emperor's on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, my God.
Yeah, you lead with that.
Yeah, you don't just like come into the room and like stare at a guy and go, you bathing?
That's like what your dad does.
That really? Is that what your dad does?
Here we are. I'll go ahead and give it to you as a quote.
Thanks.
Absolutely. It doesn't have a planet of origin. It just says, Xizor lay in his bath, a sunken tub carved from dense black garden stone and large enough to seat 10 comfortably. He spent a lot of time bathing, part of his species heritage. The Feline were born of the water, and it was always nice to return to it.
Were they?
I do want to say that vapor rose from the hot water, bringing with it the scent of yucca mint oil that swirled in the tub.
Yeah, yucca mint.
Yucca mint. A little
mint oil.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Them being born of the water, because I always thought of them as like...
desert people.
Well,
they're lizards.
Well, yeah, they're lizards.
They're not amphibians. That's the big thing.
Okay,
yeah.
But what if
lizards.
They were? Now, what if?
Oh, they've got so much slimier.
Now, what if there was this ooze incident? Now, follow me.
Okay.
What if Raphael had sex stink? That's all I'm saying.
So what you're saying is that Xizor is a ninja turtle.
That is exactly what
well,
I'm saying.
Well, he's definitely rude, but he is not cool.
Well, he has displayed ninja skills. He knows karate. and he is definitely calculating. All right, like,
my good
like
personal friend. Yeah, my good personal friend Chris from Telltale Games. Get back in contact with me. I have the second game in your plan in your list. First, it's Chewbacca versus the Battletoads,
and
now
second
it's,
is Shizor takes a bath.
Shizor takes a bath. Honestly, Shizor takes a bath would be a great Telltale game. Guri walks in. Should I be mean to Guri or nice to Guri?
Guri will remember this.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah. So we're dealing with Emperor on the phone now.
Yes, the Emperor is on the phone. And the Emperor basically just wants him to take care of some business. And oh, I think he's just saying, I'll leave soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. He's basically just saying, I'm going to leave in just a little bit.
Also, Vader tattled on you and said you may have been trying to kill Luke.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. I'm sorry. This is the point where I was a little distracted.
And he was like, nuh-uh. And the Emperor's like, great, I don't give a fuck. Anyway, bye.
We should check in with Vader, by the way, because Vader in these chapters is, and this is, I think, the third episode in a row, spinning his goddamn wheels.
So hard. He is just doing donuts.
Every time we check in with Vader, he's up on the Executor, and all he's doing is going, yes, I dislike that Shizor. When
can you blame him?
When I can prove that when I can prove he's super creepy, I will totally kill him. But the Emperor won't let me kill him, which is weird because I want to kill him.
Anyway, he really chafes my armor.
I need to catch Luke, because if I can catch Luke, I'll train him to be in the dark side. And then if he does that, then we'll be very powerful. You see, a magnet is powerful, but if you take two magnets and put them near each other, they're as powerful as two magnets.
That's imagine four balls on the edge of a cliff.
That's what's happening. He's just never ending doing this.
I'm almost positive you're reading from the book here.
The part about magnets is actually in there.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, this is the 10th time in a row that this is all that Vader is doing.
Andy, you stupid man.
Yeah.
I love that this came out before the prequels, but it is very Anakin.
It is so true. The only thing is that he doesn't have any monologues about sand.
And he doesn't make any cute quips.
Oh, yeah. Be careful not to choke on your aspirations. I love that line so much. I love Cat.
Cat hates that.
I love Catty Vader.
Oh, no. Catty Vader's so good.
Yeah.
I just imagine he leaves the room and he's like, huh, that was a good one. I've been workshopping that one.
I just like it because it means that he picked up anything at all from his time serving as Obi-Wan's Padawan.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Okay, so...
I think we said that exact thing on pods a while back.
Is that right? Because that's basically what Obi-Wan is best
at. That is Obi-Wan.
He was apprenticed to the two biggest trolls in the galaxy, Obi-Wan and Palpatine.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's got to pick up something.
Yeah, at some point he has to pick up the ability to drop a little ice burn here or there.
I would not doubt that that was written down for him from the Emperor, and he's like, look, next time you choke someone, use this. Believe me, it will kill.
Oh, hang on. Those are the lyrics to Cheeseburger in Paradise. I never take those out of my wallet. Can I have that back?
Yeah, I feel like Sheevan is a huge parrot head. I could see that.
Arshiv is. That's for sure. Arshiv is basically never not wearing a Kiss the Cook apron.
Arshiv is basically cool, Dad.
He's pretty close. All right, so at this point, I guess the Emperor has used his magic of the dark side, his pure force over Sith energy, to sense how annoying the Vader chapters have gotten, because he just cuts it off. The Vader chapter, or subchapter ends, a whole new chapter starts, and it's just the Emperor going, no, you can't kill Shizor.
Look, when you get back, just try not to kill this guy, and, I don't care. Go look for Luke or something. Just go.
Oh, Vader, just please kill him anyway. Vader, please.
Vader, please hurt him.
All right. So we get a whole thing where Luke and Lando are wandering around on the surface of Coruscant, and they decide that the next step for their rescue mission is disguises.
Well, yay! Of course you need disguises.
You just see them jazz handing when they say it. They're just, we need disguises.
Montage.
And then they straight up just point at two stormtroopers and they're like, hey man, you remember that one part of Final Fantasy VI where you have to play as Locke? Let's straight up just do that. Let's just steal clothes from these returners and stormtroopers till we get everything we need.
Hey, you remember when we said Chewbacca was a prisoner and we were dressed up like stormtroopers? Let's do that.
Let's do it again.
Let's just keep doing things from movies.
I stole his outfit, too. So that's what they do. They do briefly mention that there's a stormtrooper standing over near something called a periodical refresher. Now, I know refresher is Star Wars lingo for the bathroom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what a periodical refresher is.
I'm pretty sure that's a porta potty.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine. I figured it was just like a bathroom for newspapers.
Well, they wouldn't have newspapers.
Well, there's a newspaper in this very book.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I like to have the physical feel of it.
Shizor loves paper.
There's a dude reading a printout of what he calls the Holo Fax.
Yeah, he's got a printout of the Holo Fax.
The Holo Fax.
Oh, that's a great name.
With an X.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. You thought it was the Holo Fax.
No. I mean,
no one would ever think that.
No, it's a Star Wars.
What do those two, like, word fragments mean together?
Check out the facts. It's the Holo Fax.
The Holo Fax.
What do you? How do you?
It's a hologram.
Well, normally, I think you're not supposed to print them out normally. It's some spy. Some spy is sitting across the street from Shizor's house or Vader's house, I forget, reading a newspaper and drinking coffee.
Yeah, he's putting two little holes in it, and he's just looking through his Holo Fax.
I mean, what he actually does is he reads a Holo Fax, and he drinks a Soy Pro caffeine or something like that.
Yes, good.
One of the 18 different terms for coffee that have been used over the course of Expounded. A calf, yes, exactly. So they decide to go steal the thing. Meanwhile, Leia wakes up in her apartment.
And eats.
And she eats, I want to say, about a third of a page worth of space words that are used to describe what is clearly some sourdough toast.
Oh, yeah.
So a Brian Jacques moment.
I was going to say it's some George R. R. Martin shit.
Yeah,
she gets some lemon cake and just goes off on that.
But it has to be like, I'm eating a toasted item. It's some sort of leavened earth material. Perhaps grain? Oh, when I bite into it, it's crispy on the outside, slightly chewy. And am I detecting a hint of sourness? I think this might be... Just say sourdough bread. Steve, come on,
Stevie,
man.
Steve. We're on board. It's okay.
We know
you get paid by the word, but come on.
It would be great if everything in this book was replaced with anytime he does this, if it was just replaced with, he was eating sourdough bread, and then in parentheses, imagine space version.
Just space. He was eating space sourdough bread.
Purple.
In one of the new canon novels, one of the earliest ones, they take a long time describing the ramen that Luke is heating up, and it's the funniest fucking thing.
There's a chapter in this where Luke is given food to eat in a prison that he's being held in, and it's some sort of orange vegetable, a leafy green thing that appears as though it grew from the earth, soy pro cutlets... Which I think that's a little too specific in a certain, like, you know, some sort of orange vegetable is kind of cool and spacey because you have no idea what you're eating. Soy Pro indicates that there's a soy farming.
It's not just a carrot?
Soy conversing industry in
the Star
Wars universe.
Oh, no, he's got a carrot and some salad.
Yeah,
and
a carrot
some
salad
chicken.
And a garden burger.
Yeah. Oh, because Earth is Star Wars' prison.
I mean, he's on Kothless when it happens, but effectively.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So at this point, we are basically almost done. We're on the home stretch here.
Okay.
Luke and Lando definitely steal some stormtrooper armor, just like in that movie you guys remember.
I didn't see that movie. So.
Oh, yeah. A New Hope is entirely skippable.
That's an obscure movie.
It is. Yeah. It's one of the rare ones in the canon. Now,
that's like the fourth one. Who has patience at that point?
I know, right? I'm sorry. They steal outfits just like Sindel and Wicket do in...
Battle for Endor?
Yeah, Battle for Endor. Yeah. Yeah, so
that's a cultural touchstone.
No,
I understand.
Yeah.
We've all seen that.
Yeah, right.
As children,
they make muffins just like in Battle for Endor, and then they're stolen just as in Battle for Endor.
And they're chickens,
they're actually
now. Is there a flash
chickens,
rabbit?
They're actual. They're regular rabbits and flash rabbits and regular horses, but also giant two-legged fish monsters.
So is Teek in this or
Teek is in everything?
Okay.
Usually he just doesn't stop. Teek is the greatest character in Star Wars.
Gotta go fast.
Fucking Flash Rabbit.
The thing about Flash Rabbit that amazes me is he's not even the only fast rabbit in the Star Wars universe.
No. There are a lot of rabbits, and people hate them.
Yeah.
People hate those characters.
All right. So, Palpatine is basically about to go on vacation or something. We're not even sure. He doesn't say. Obviously, he's going off to inspect the Death Star 2. But he's leaving, and he is dadding at Vader super hard. He's just like, all right, I'm leaving. While I'm gone, you can help yourself to the contents of three of the pudding cups.
Look, I know you've got it in your mind to go after Luke. You can do that for 2 hours a night after you finish your homework.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want you messing around with that Shizor kid. He's a bad influence.
Well, that's true.
That's definitely true.
What he actually says is... I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks. Do you think you can not destroy the planet while I'm gone?
Yeah.
Try not to burn the whole empire down in my absence.
There's $40 on the table. Buy a pizza.
But here's the best thing. Because while he's doing this, what's Vader doing? Is Vader paying attention to him?
Oh, no. Oh, Vader's off in his own dream world. Vader where he's like, I'm going to get Luke, and he's going to be my friend.
He's having the same monologue again. He's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Don't break the plan. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, once I capture that Luke Skywalker, I will raise him to join me in the dark side. Incidentally, I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, but I do not care for Sheezor, the dark prince of the under...
The great part is this is his internal monologue. This so is, he's
yeah.
like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we have to keep in mind that this book is also featured in an internal monologue where Leia provided reference quotes to herself.
Yeah.
And another one where she was where her internal monologue developed an accent and started calling her sister.
Yep.
This is very good.
Oh, sister, you don't think you're kidding us, do you? We know you have the hots for that Sheezor, and you've got it bad.
Fuck, the worst part about that is that, like, that's like Han's vernacular.
It is. Oh, no. What it literally is the muses from Disney's Hercules come to life and sing a little song to her about how she's in love and she won't admit it.
Wow, that book is way better than I thought.
Anyway, that's the end. That's chapter 30. Where do we leave it all? Another Vader monologue.
Yeah, and the Vader monologues are great because... Every time...
I think I saw that stage play, actually.
Yeah.
The Vader monologues.
Oh, my God. Now I want
you
to
know,
do that, too.
My Vader is sensitive.
All right. Chapter 1 of the Vader monologues. When I capture Luke Skywalker, I will raise him to join me in the dark side. I do not care for Sheezor.
Scene. The worst, though, is... Like, Palpatine will ask him a question, and he'll do the full monologue for, like, three paragraphs, and then, in quotes, just go, yes, my master. How long were you just staring at him, saying nothing?
It's perfect for that old video. Remember the Hard of Hearing Vader?
What?
That's what, it's just, if you were to make a movie of this, it would just be him, what?
This is very good.
That's
holy smokes.
I'm glad we're having fun, but that is where we're going to leave it this week, I'm afraid.
There
are only 10 chapters left, folks.
Man, I really feel like things are going to turn around in those last 10 chapters.
Oh, yeah. We're really hitting things the stride now.
Can you imagine things coming to a head at this point? I mean, most of the characters haven't even met each other yet.
Well, it's because this book's entire, like, reason for being...
is to sell toys.
Is... to have a Leia rape scene, essentially.
I feel like someone else probably had to add the rest of this book. After the Leia rape scene, I feel like Steve Perry probably retired.
He was like, I'm out. That's all I wanted to do.
Bring in a ringer or something, because I wrote the part I care about. Steve Perry writes till he's done. Remember it. Snap, snap, snap.
I'm not positive, but I think he wrote some other stuff.
He did. He wrote at least
one other
book. He
wrote another Dash book.
Yeah.
Yeah. God damn it. He wrote the... Oh, fuck me. Yeah. And he also wrote...
Wow,
that's
a great book. I want to read that.
Dash. God damn it. Ah, fuck me.
He wrote MedStar? That was him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could have told you this. He actually has a couple of other books to his credit, and he shares a name with a guitarist is it Aerosmith? Or, no, it's Journey.
Journey. Yes, Steve Perry.
Yeah. There you have it.
There you are.
All right, folks. So once again, we need a special thanks to our two guests, because this is the first time Expounded Universe has had any guests. And this is going to be another chance for them to plug before we go into our regular end of the show junk. So, Kat and Pranks, thank you so much for coming. Please.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I'm so glad to be in Chicago. I love that I'm actually seeing thunder out the window. Do you know how rare that is in San Diego? I've almost forgotten what it looks like.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Every time they say it's going to rain in San Diego, it's a lie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It happens here not infrequently.
I do not like the rain.
Oh, yeah, you don't. I love it.
We have this weird thing where both of us get this. No matter where we go on vacation, when we go there, it's raining or something.
Huh.
Everyone in town apologizes to us. They're like, oh, guys, I'm so sorry. This must be ruining your vacation. We're like, are you kidding?
This is exactly what I want.
This is the crazy. I'm going to go stand outside for 20 minutes.
We should come visit us in February. Get a kick out of that.
I got a sister here. I will find an excuse.
I quite like weather.
Yeah, me too. But anyway.
Yeah, plugging shows. Mm. Yep, the things that we do. Oddly, a whole lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
That's weird.
Uh-huh. I do a show called Campaign.
Which is nominally about Star Wars.
A Jace.
Yeah.
At oneshotpodcast.com/campaign. It's an actual play podcast, and is three dudes who sort of know about the show and then me GMing. And then, Pranks and I do a show called Never Tell Me the Pods, which is a Star Wars discussion show.
Where we mostly discuss new canon stuff, but a little bit of Legends stuff too.
Sometimes when you and I get together, we get to do
Legends stuff. Yeah, because our other two co-hosts, which are James D'Amato and Johnny O'Mara, are not familiar with Legends material really at all, so.
Well, now's your chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this will be fun.
I was going to say, we got to get it out of our system, but there's no way we could get it out of our system.
No.
It's too much.
Unfortunately.
So.
And then.
I also do Adventure on the One Shot Network, which is a show that does a variety of fan fiction universes. We just wrapped up Animorphs. We're about to do Mass Effect tomorrow. And then we've also done like Magic School Bus, Ninja Turtles, Harry Potter, and Pokemon. I think that rounds it out, right?
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. I am a big fan of what you do.
Aww. So. Yeah, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, though, Never Tell Me the Pods isn't in the One Shot Network, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not.
You know what else isn't is Expounded Universe. You guys want to start a network?
You guys want to start a network?
A Star Wars podcast network.
Let's cut this, but yes, we should talk about it.
See, that was a joke, but now I'm 100% on board, yeah.
Cool.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. As always, if you would like to support us, please do so at patreon.com/systemmastery. If you give us a dollar, you unlock bonus content to our System Mastery episodes. Also, if you give us another, I think, $60 in total from all of you at any point, this show will switch from bi-weekly or whichever week to demi-weekly, from going every 2 weeks to going every 1 week.
Good.
There it is. So if you want to hear that happen, and I know you do because this is a glacial pace, please feel free to support us at patreon.com/systemmastery. Otherwise, you can find us at systemmasterypodcast.com or at our various social media outlets. Try Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, Reddit, all those places. Come say hello to us. We are easily accessible. Oh, there's a new one, the Discord.
We've got our own Discord.
If you want to hang out with us on the System Mastery Discord, go to the Twitter page and look for the only tweet we have ever stickied. It is the link to join our Discord. Thank you so much for listening. Let's see. I want to thank everybody who's been here today, except John, and otherwise...
Join us in our next podcast,
yes,
part two.
Part two, when we're going to be being on Never Tell Me the Pods with some secret guests who you would never expect. I'm kidding, it's Kat and Pranks. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Elan Sleaze-Bogano, and I love death sticks.
Are you down with SheVP?
Yeah, you know me.
Just when you think all those balls are going to spill...
And Lando swore out lorem ipsum dolor est.
For Christ's sake, I hope every one of them is dead by the end of this book.